Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. So we had some technical difficulties. Our wireless mic is not working with us, so I'm up here at the pulpit today. So I hope I can do as well as I did this morning. So, my friends, I want all of you to really think about what I'm about to tell you. I want you to think about the words themselves and consider the deeper reality of this statement. Are you ready? Death is not the end. Are you with me? Hear me out on this. I understand that it is natural for us to fear the unknown. We have no idea what the transition from this life to the next will be like. And naturally, that instills a great deal of anxiety and fear in us. But here's something I bet you did not know. The phrase, fear not, appears 365 times in the Bible. Can you believe that? It's what I read on the internet, so it must be true. Okay, so it actually doesn't. It appears more like 40-ish times and in many different contexts. But let me ask you this. Should it matter how many times God says something? Shouldn't God saying it once be enough for us to trust in God? Our psalm today is one of the most famous texts in the entire Bible. We see it in books, popular songs, movies. I am not a King James Version kind of guy, but the King James Version of this verse is powerful. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Can you feel the power of those words? Consider today's reading from the book of Acts. If we back up just prior to where the reading began today, we see that Peter and John have been arrested. They are being questioned, interrogated, really, by Caiaphas. And we know from the passion story of a few weeks ago what kind of power Caiaphas wields. And yet, Peter and John show no signs of fear. If anything, they sound emboldened, maybe even a little reckless. They're standing before this priest who spearheaded the movement to crucify the Son of God, and they are boldly speaking truth to power. They almost seem to be mocking Caiaphas. They refer to Jesus as the stone you builders rejected. They risk being charged with blasphemy by saying salvation is found in no one else. These men clearly have no fear of death. Why? Because they witnessed firsthand that death is not the end. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus is not only our shepherd, but he is also the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. His life cannot be taken because he willingly lays it down for his sheep. Not just for some sheep, all sheep. Even the ones outside of this sheep pen. It doesn't matter which sheep pen we're referring to. Those sheep from other pens are still this shepherd's sheep. Even as we walk through the darkest valleys, we are told to fear no evil, for our shepherd is there. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew this. Dr. King was not afraid of dark valleys. Why? Because he had been to the mountaintop. Dr. King's mountaintop speech was eerily prophetic. Moses went to the mountaintop in Deuteronomy 34, and God showed Moses the promised land. But Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. He died shortly after being given that glimpse. Likewise, Dr. King had his life stolen from him less than 24 hours after giving this historic sermon. Murdered by an assassin's bullet, and friends, yes, he was indeed murdered. But let me ask you this. Was his life stolen? Or did he, like Jesus, willingly lay it down for his sheep? I want to ask you all to take a moment and close your eyes and listen to these words. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Do you know what Dr. King understood? That death is not the end. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, and only in this shepherd's name. And because of this, because we know that we have this freely given gift of salvation, we cannot, we must not fear death, because death is not the end. It is the beginning. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his or her friends, and John tells us that Jesus laying down his life for us is the epitome of love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is great. But wait. John's on a roll, and he says that there's more. I can't wait to see and hear what he's got in store for us. John says, and we meaning all of us, ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Hold up. Time out. John just explained how Jesus giving up his life for us was what true love is, and that it's this insurmountable gift. Can't I just sit back and savor that? Can't I just accept this amazing gift and relish in it for 80 or 90 years and be comfortable and content? Now he's telling me that I have to be willing to emulate Jesus and lay down my life as he did? Am I capable of that? Are any of us? My friends, this is quite possibly the hardest thing to accept in Christianity. We are mere mortals, tiny specks of dust in the infinite cosmos. Our own personal death is the most difficult thing any of us can ponder or contemplate. And yet, I have to let you in on a little secret. Well, it's not really a secret anymore, but I want you to know that I firmly and fully believe this. Death is not the end. Some of you might be casually thinking to yourselves, yeah, that's true. But no, this is serious. I want you to really believe it because it is the truth. Yes, it is a really hard reality that Christ calls us to embrace. It doesn't mean sitting back and accepting other people dying as a Christian reality. It means accepting that you have to be willing to always be ready to fight evil with love, even if it means you will have to lay down your life in doing so. Are you prepared for that? Isn't that what Dr. King did? Isn't that what Peter and John and all the apostles did? Isn't that what Jesus did? John says that hired hands see the wolves coming and they abandon their sheep. In our lives, those wolves can be many things. For those of us who are leaders or soon to be leaders in the church, there are many wolves that we might run from. A fear of confronting racism or sexism. And of course, an even bigger fear. The fear that some of us might be wolves in sheep's clothing, chasing away sheep that look different or act different from us. Are we hired hands? Or are we full-time, fully dedicated, all-in followers of Jesus Christ? Do we take the time to understand and acknowledge that being a Christian is really, really hard? It means giving up our pride, giving up our propensity toward vengeance and judgment. It even means giving up our inclination to believe that our life is our own. My friends, it is not. We belong to God. We have no right to play God because God alone is God, and we are not. Are we prepared to lay down our lives for our sheep? Do we really understand the consequences of accepting this cross that we must carry? Friends, this is not a threat. This is what I'm trying to convey to you. The consequences in this case are positive. It might be difficult to comprehend, but these consequences are a gift. The willingness to lay down our lives for our sheep must not be seen as something to fear. Instead, it should instill hope within us. Hope and solace in the promise of heaven. God is not a liar. God has promised us salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Can there be any greater gift than this? Can anything that we might do to foolishly attempt to preserve our lives in this world, top the eternal life that is ours through God's freely given grace? I do not feel called to be a mere hired hand. I feel God's call to tend to all of God's sheep in all pens. Yes, this life is but ashes and dust in the grand scheme, but we are not nihilists. There is great meaning in all that we do in God's name. And believe me when I tell you that in my heart, I know that in this life, I will not get to the promised land. But I've seen it. I've seen it in the goodness of those around me. I've seen it in the eyes of children and in the humility of immigrants and refugees and the poor. I've seen it in the strength of those who have long been oppressed, yet remain steadfast and resilient in standing up and speaking truth to power. I, too, have been to the mountaintop. And as I gazed upon the promised land, I heard God whispering something in my ear. Do you know what God was saying to me? Death is not the end. Thanks be to God. Amen.